This week, an absent and uncaring husband and father with zero passion for life leaves destruction in his wake, tearing his own family apart in the process. If you're married or considering marriage someday, this week's episode will teach you how not to behave if you want to be a good spouse and stay married. Welcome to My Crazy Divorce.
I'm a failure as a husband. I'm a failure as a man.
It's just, I'm beautiful and I'm bright and I deserve better.
It's a great day, I'm feeling good. Oh, the possibilities of what I could. Oh, do with the world at my fingertips. My imagination brings a smile up to my lips.
We took last week off, so welcome back, everyone. This is My Crazy Divorce, and I'm your host, Tom Milligan. In our last show, right before Christmas, we switched things up a bit, so I was the guest and my business partner and best friend Jill Blankenship guest hosted the show. I think she did a great job, so make sure you listen to that episode. Well, and all the others too. This week's story involves most of what we've all come to expect on this show, like cheating, abandonment, and flat-out stupid legal decisions. But divorce is like fingerprints in that they're all unique to the person they belong to. And Kendra's story, like all our stories, is nothing short of crazy. Before we hear from Kendra, as always, please remember, I'm not an attorney or a therapist, so if you're in a bad relationship or a crazy divorce, seek qualified and licensed professional guidance. And the last thing before we get into Kendra's crazy story, we're always looking for exciting stories to tell, so if you have a crazy divorce story, visit mycrazydivorce.com and click on the Apply to be a Guest button at the bottom of the page. That's how Kendra's story came to us. I'd love to hear from you, too. Now that we've done the housekeeping, let's meet Kendra. Kendra was born in Southern California. Her parents already had one son, so once Kendra arrived, they were the perfect nuclear family.
I grew up in Southern California. My parents, they divorced when I was 1 year old, and I have an older brother from that first marriage with my mom and dad. My parents split when I was one. My mom remarried when I was four, and we stayed in Southern California till about age 13. And my stepdad, who I consider my father, he moved us up to Reno to start a business in Reno, Nevada.
Oh, Reno? By choice? Gross. If you live there, you know what I mean. If you've been there, you know what I mean. Anyway, back to the story.
And finished high school, went to college in Reno. My mom and my stepdad ended up having two more children together. And then when my father remarried, he had two children. So there's six of us. I have five siblings.
We could do an entire episode about her family, but since we're here just to talk about her crazy divorce and not her crazy family, I'll just insert a couple of crazy stories about her sister and then her mother-in-law a little bit later in the show. But as a teaser, here's how Kendra describes her sister.
The one sister is batshit crazy.
Yeah. Kendra's biological father was raised Catholic, but since he was mostly out of the picture, that religious influence didn't really stick. Her mom would take her to Sunday school every once in a while, but religion just didn't play a big role in her early life. Meanwhile, on the other side of the country, a young man named Tom was growing up in a little town just outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
My ex-husband was born in Pennsylvania, in a little town, Latrobe, Pennsylvania, which is outside of Pittsburgh. His parents were married for, 5 years. His mom was a nurse. His dad was a farmer. And his parents ended up divorcing when Tom was very young. He has a sister that's just about 15 months younger than him. And when his parents divorced, his mom, she was having a hot toward love affair with a doctor at the hospital.
Turns out, the doctor was also married with three kids of his own. Well, now what?
Back in the day, it was very easy to get a divorce in Nevada. So they packed up Tom and my ex-sister-in-law, Tammy, and they headed west to get their divorces. So it would be one and done in about 2 weeks.
So after Tom's parents were married for just 5 years, Mom packs the kids up and moves to Reno with her married boyfriend so they can both get a quick divorce. Sounds like a great start, right? So Mom brought Tom and Tammy along, but what about the stepdad's other kids?
And he was married when they moved out to Reno. He was married to a woman and they had 3 children together. And he just ghosted the shit out of those kids. Ghosted them. Just packed up and left.
Now free from those pesky kids of his, Tom's stepdad opened a medical practice and his mom ran the office. Somewhere along the way, Mom and stepdad had a child together. And from all accounts, Tom, Tammy, and the new kid never wanted for anything.
He lived a very privileged life. He was very spoiled, all the nicest clothes, Catholic schooling. He never went without. He had his parents spoiled the hell out of him.
Stepdad must have been a pretty decent father figure, because even though he never legally adopted Tom, when he turned 18, Tom legally changed his last name to that of his stepdad. That usually says something, right? When it comes to religion, Tom's upbringing was very different from Kendra's.
So before his stepfather went to medical school, he almost became a priest in the Catholic Church. He debated, is it going to be med school or, you know, being a priest? And obviously he chose to go to medical school.
So Tom was raised by an almost Catholic priest who took religion very seriously. Keep that little nugget in mind as this story unfolds.
I was a senior in high school, and his sister, she had gone to the Catholic high school in Reno, and her mom had teenage mother drama, and she went back east, back to Pennsylvania, to live with her biological dad for a year. And then for her senior year, she came back out to Reno, and we had a class together. And our senior year of high school. And I'd go over to her house, we'd hang out, you know, and then Tom, like I said, they're just a year apart. So I met Tom through being over, hanging out with his sister. So I was 17 when I met Tom. I had been dating. I was dating a guy when I met Tom. But the minute I met him, I was super attracted to him. I just thought he was, you know, cute and nice and quiet, and I really liked him a lot deep down. And the relationship I had been in was a little tumultuous, and, you know, just, it was 17-year-old high school love.
Most of us have a 17-year-old tumultuous relationship story, right?
It kind of got that weird abusive. He threw a beer can at my head. We were in the car, the cops, we were at a party and the cops were coming. And he said, roll your window down. I was like, I'm not rolling the window. I was scared to death. And so he took a beer can and threw it, hit the window, and then it knocked me in the head. I was like, we're done.
Wow. I'm glad she got out of that without too much damage.
So it just happened one day. Tom had called me up and I was home and he said, hey, you want to come over and watch some college basketball with me? This was like in January. And I'd met him probably September of 1987. I had met him, and I was like, sure. You know, I was so giddy and so excited. And I went over to his house, and just from there on, we just were together for 32 years from that day on.
And they lived happily ever after. The end. If only, right?
That night he kissed me, and it took him months and months. He was, like I said, very conservative, reserved, scared, nervous. I mean, we didn't really, I don't think we had we had sex till we were like 8 months into our relationship.
I'm a pretty conservative guy, but 8 months seems like a long time to be in a committed relationship before becoming intimate, right? What's that all about?
He had had sex with his first. I don't know how old he was, but his sister narked him out to his parents and he got busted for it. busted because the big Catholic religion, that whole ordeal. And I think he was scared to death.
Oh, there it is. Good old Catholic guilt. I was raised Mormon, and I can testify that Mormon guilt will give Catholic guilt a run for its money any day. And part of that guilt is all about sex. I've always found it interesting that for the first 24 years of my life, I was taught that sex was a sin, and it would send you right to hell. But then suddenly, because I had a piece of paper given to me by the government saying I was married, sex not only stopped being a sin, but was now somehow actually ordained of God. I'm no theologian, but as far as I can tell, sex is really the only act that changes from sin to commandment. Let me know if you know of any others. In my opinion, the sexual flip-flop taught by most religions can create some issues in marriage.
That should have been my first clue that our marriage... It's weird that I say about the sex, but from then on, we never had good sex. We never had... It was never just this passion, chemistry. I think his religion played a lot with his mind when it came to our sex life. After we were married, I mean, before we were married, because we were obviously, we lived together, which was a whole nother sin. But I would beg him. I was like, I'm your wife. We can do this. It's not illegal. You know, I'm not asking you to bring donkeys or wine bottles or anything into the room. I am your wife. It's okay. It's not rape. It's not weird threesomes or whatever is in your mind. I'm okay with this. We can explore each other.
Oh, I get it. During a counseling session near the end of my first marriage, we were discussing the lack of sex in our marriage, trying to uncover the underlying reasons. My now ex-wife told the counselor that because of the guilt she felt for her lack of sexual purity during high school, that she'd made promises to God that she'd never do it again. She'd never reconciled the fact that sex was no longer a sin. So Kendra is trying to help Tom get over his Catholic guilt by giving him permission to explore and have fun. I know how I'd react, but how did he?
No, ma'am. He thought I was weird.
Well, despite their differences, Tom and Kendra continued dating and getting closer.
When I graduated from high school, I moved out with a dear friend of mine. And we got a little apartment. We were going to college. And he, at the time, still lived at home. No big deal. But the closer that Tom and I got with each other, we had a lot of pushback from his mom.
Dun, dun, dun. We've just talked about Tom's religious issues, but now let's talk about his mommy issues.
Tom, he was the type of kid, all say a senior in high school, all of his buddies would come over to pick him up to go out, do whatever. And his mom would say, "You didn't clean your room. You're not going out." And he would just, okay. And tell his friends, "I can't go out tonight. I got to clean my room." So he was very, yes, ma'am, just people pleaser that way. Didn't want to ruffle anybody's feathers.
I believe Tom is what the kids are now calling a beta.
I had lived out on my own. And this one summer we were out having a great time. We had Sea-Doos and jet skis and we were with my parents and some of their friends. And we had been out at a lake all day, had a great day. I dropped him off at his house and we were going to go to my parents for a barbecue. And no Tom, no Tom, no Tom. And I called him and I said, "Are you okay?" And he says, "I can't see you anymore." Like, what? We were just out water skiing and jet skiing. I can't see you anymore. So he broke up with me.
What the hell?
He dropped me like a hot potato. And I mean, I was devastated. I was really, really devastated. And so there was really no explanation about it.
That's low. There's really nothing worse than being dumped without any explanation. In fact, I think it's just quite childish.
What I feel, because later it came out, it was basically his mom said, "It's her or it's us." And he lived at home. She paid the bills, paid his college. Of course he has to stay home. You know, he's got to choose his mom. That's his bread and butter. When we'd gotten home from that day at the lake, I think his mom was just over it, him and I being together. I don't know if it was a jealousy thing. I don't know if I was taking her baby boy away from her. I don't know what it is. So no more, no more. And it devastated me.
I have to admit, I don't know which would be worse. Not knowing why he dumped me, or knowing it's because he's so attached to his mother that he doesn't dare stand up to her. At this point, Kendra is going to school and working for her dad's construction company. Tom also worked for her dad, but on a different shift, so they never crossed paths at work.
So a few months go by, and I run into Tom at the library up at the university. And it was kind of late at night, and my heart sunk when I saw him. Absolutely sunk, because it's just the butterflies. And so we sat down. We were at this table way across from each other. We just talked. Hey, how are you? How's it going? Good. We talked for hours. Probably to this day was one of the best talks we'd ever had. And we walked out together because it was about 11:30 at night. He walked me to my car and we just said goodbye. We didn't hug. We didn't kiss. We didn't say anything. It was just like, hey, you take care of yourself. And I remember getting in my car, just my heart was broken. It was just aching because all I wanted to do was just grab him and hug him and, you know, let's work this out.
Kendra really wanted to work it out, but that wasn't in the cards, at least not that night. But something changed the next day while she was at work.
I was doing dispatch and they had little CB radios and one of the truck drivers called in and he said, hey, are you expecting anyone at work? I said, no, why, what's going on? He's like, go look outside. So I look outside and Tom's car had pulled up in the front parking lot. And I walked out there and he rolled his window down. And I noticed that he was in the same outfit he was in the night we were at the library. And then he had a dozen donuts sitting on his passenger seat. And I said, are you okay? He's like, I'm not okay. I said, what's going on? What's the matter? He said, my mom saw us at the library last night and wouldn't let me come home because she thought there was something going on with us. I said, are you kidding me?
Seriously? Are you kidding me? Wow. Tom's mom is serious about keeping these two apart. And it really does sound like something a jealous girlfriend would do, as opposed to a mother, right?
So he'd gone home after the library, and she was like, no, sir, you're not coming in here. So he drove around Lake Tahoe all night long, nowhere to go, nowhere to, you know, we didn't have cell phones and text messaging back then. He just drove in circles around that lake. And then from that day forward, he moved in with my parents because I was in an apartment with a friend. So my parents took him in under their wing and let him stay at their house for a few months till he could get his shit together.
Mom's evil plan had backfired, so she lashed out.
She took his car away from him. She came and stole it out of my parents' driveway one night. It was insane.
Gee, thanks, Mom.
I know it was traumatic for him. It was very sad. It was very sad. But again, she was just, it's her or it's us. And he chose me the second go around.
Better late than never, I guess. Remember, Kendra's living in her own apartment. And now Tom's living with Kendra's parents.
And it really kind of just took right back off when he started living with my parents. You know, just, we started dating again. He saved a little bit of money for a few months and then went and got his own apartment.
Good for Tom. Sounds like he's figuring out how to get out from under his mommy's rule.
Probably a year after that, when I was 20, I bought my first house. And so we moved in together when I bought my house. But I did all the finance, meaning, you know, it was everything financially was just in my name. I don't even think there was a written rule, but we just sort of, we called it our house. I don't even remember talking about, hey, do you want to move in? I think it was just, we just knew we were going to.
With Mom out of the picture, things just sort of slide into place with these two. But, you know, whenever it goes this easily, I wonder if it's truly meant to be, or it's just so comfortable that nobody even thinks it's important to formalize anything. So let's hear about that proposal.
This was October of 91 now, And there was no proposal. There was no, I want you to be my wife. Would you marry me? There was nothing fancy. He took me to the mall and financed a ring for me. We went, he's like, let's go pick you out a ring. There was no asking any of my dads. There was nothing. It was just like, oh, okay, well, now we have to pay for this ring every month. And so there was, I can't say there was champagne and roses and, helicopters or anything fun and fancy. It was just, hey, do you like this ring? Put it on my finger. And we left the jewelry store. And then we paid on it for 2 years.
Not really a tearjerker, I guess, but I can't say I'm really that surprised. That less than romantic proposal took place in October of 1991, and life was good.
It was just so comfortable. It was just comfortable. I thought I was, when I look back, I thought this was, my dream man, the father of my children. We're gonna just rock this life together and things are gonna be great. And then Tom had a heart attack in 1992, February of 92, a few months before we were getting married.
Oh shit.
I woke up at 4 in the morning in our bed and he was hunched over. And I said, are you okay? He said, no, we got to go to the hospital. He's like, my chest is just hurting. So we get on, I'm driving, we get on the freeway, we're hauling ass to the hospital. He's like, go faster. Well, little, I mean, we're not, th neither one of us are thinking a heart attack.
Of course not. Who has a heart attack at 22?
By the time I helped or get his paperwork filled out for him, they had him in the back, they had him on oxygen IVs, they'd given him a nitroglycerin pill, and that took the pain right away. Well, I don't know this. I mean, we're like, oh, okay, you feel better now. We can go home and sleep. It's going to be Saturday. We can go back to bed.
Tom and Kendra may think they're going home, but the doctors and nurses at the hospital were still running tests. It was later that afternoon that they confirmed that Tom had had a severe heart attack caused by a virus that had attacked his heart. Tom was admitted to the hospital.
So when they, after they admitted him, I said to him, and mind you, we're still not speaking to his parents. And I said, I need to call your parents. And he's like, don't call my parents. Please don't call my parents. And a part of me was like, I didn't have children at the time, but I just thought, this is their son. If anything's gonna wake them up or him up or me up or whatever, they need to know.
Kendra decides they need to know. She also knows that stepdad is a doctor that does rounds at that same hospital, so he's gonna find out soon enough anyway.
So they show up, and my mom and I are sitting in Tom's room, and his parents come in the room a few hours after I called. And my ex-mother-in-law says, Kendra, I need to have a word with Tommy.
Despite the fact that Tom and his mother hadn't spoken in months, she's still his mom, and she had to be worried sick. No doubt she just wanted to have some alone time with Tom to make up for lost time, right?
She didn't ask how he was. She didn't say what. She said to him, you can get out of this. You don't have to get married. You don't have to do this, Tom.
Wow. She didn't ask him how he was feeling, how she could help, or really anything about his health? To his credit, Tom stood up to her and let her know that he was getting married and she couldn't stop it. Tom was in the hospital for about a week, but something changed.
Then all of a sudden, because his dad being a doctor at this hospital, now all of a sudden the cardiologist is being an asshole to me and saying, well, you're not family, so we're gonna have to limit your visits and you come up here and you stress him out.
These people. They remind me of a murder-suicide where some crazy dude says, if I can't have you, nobody can. Come on, people. Tom and Kendra had a low-key wedding a couple of months after the heart attack. The dynamic in Tom's family was so toxic that Tom and Kendra decided to exclude Tom's family entirely. Even though the wedding was as low-key as the rest of their relationship, it's sad that his parents couldn't attend, but I completely understand why they weren't invited. In most of our stories, the wedding day is happy and memorable. The months and sometimes even years after the wedding are also usually pretty happy. But since we're on the My Crazy Divorce podcast, we know it doesn't stay that way. But this entire marriage and relationship was never actually great, but also never really that bad. Until the end, of course. Bad sex, indifference on Tom's part, and poor communication were recurring themes from before their wedding. So rather than a long, drawn-out description of this flatlined marriage, I'm going to share a few unfiltered, rapid-fire clips from the interview describing these three problem areas. We've already touched on their sex life, but it was really bad.
Our sex life was not our strong suit at all in our marriage. It didn't start off strong. It didn't end strong. It just was just, I don't know, it was just there. We didn't have sex on our wedding night. He wasn't tentative. It wasn't like, you look so beautiful, or, you know, you're the best, or you're my best, or, you know, God, I just love the connection we have. Never, ever. I mean, and I'm going to get, it was always wham, bam, done. Foreplay wise, it was always about him. In 30, so we were together, our divorce was final just this past July. We were married for 29 years. In honest to God, I had two orgasms with him in 29 years. Two. One every 15 years. I'm your wife, remember? It's not illegal what we're doing. It's you and I. It's our connection. It's, you know, we can do things. Nobody's watching us. Nobody's going to say, we're not going to go to sex jail for, you know, exploring each other. Our sex life was not ever like three times a week, four times a week. It was like once a month, maybe twice a month. Then it got to once every 6 months.
In addition to no passion in the bedroom, another recurring theme is Tom's lack of passion for, well, really for anything else.
Tom is still this type. He just wants everything to be okay. Just let's not cause a big stir. Let's just sweep it under the rug. Just don't say anything. Just ignore it. It'll go away. I don't think he had the confidence in himself, which makes me sad. Was it something that was, like I said, was it his upbringing, his Catholic being beat over the head with the Bible all those years? Or was it, did I not make him feel, not man enough, I don't like that word, but like comfortable enough, secure enough in his own? I never, ever, ever said anything negative to him about, oh, that's all you got? You know, that's, I never called him 10 second Tom. He never once planned a vacation, planned dinner with friends, nothing. Tom is a passenger. He's in the back seat as a passenger in his own life. He's not just riding on the passenger side. He's in the back seat. He doesn't even drive his own life. He just sits in that back seat as the passenger and just lets life come and go. I wanted him to fight for us and fight for our kids, and he just doesn't have that fire in him.
Kendra is the first to admit that they had a communication problem, but she also knows she was partially to blame.
I think Tom and I, we made a good team as parents, as, you know, we both worked for my family's business. Our communication sucked. Our communication totally sucked. We never fought. We never had knockdown, drag out, fuck you fights. We never fought. And I think that was part of our problem too. We just let shit go. We just let stuff go. I mean, I don't even know if we ever had a blowout, like a real, no, we never had a fuck you fight. We never had a fuck you fight. Never. Never. We just, okay, all right. We just maybe would be silent with each other for a little bit and just let it go.
I know that's a lot. So in the immortal words of Owen Wilson in the movie Armageddon.
Okay, so the scariest environment imaginable. Thanks. That's all you gotta say. Scariest environment imaginable.
You know, according to Benjamin Franklin, nothing is certain but death and taxes. Well, if he saw the divorce rate in our country, he'd probably add that to the list too. But speaking of taxes, I'm old enough to remember life before you could do your taxes online. We had two options way back then: do it yourself or hire an accountant. Now, most of us didn't really need an accountant, But we weren't comfortable doing our own taxes, so we hired an accountant. What a waste. The sad thing is that until now, divorce had those exact same options. You could do your own divorce, or you could hire an attorney. Most divorcing couples don't really need an attorney, but they're not comfortable doing their own divorce, so they end up hiring attorneys. What a waste. But that's all in the past. OurDivorce.com has brought the divorce process out of the dark ages and into the light. Just go to OurDivorce.com and click on Get Started. It costs you nothing unless the process works for you, and even then, it's only $299. So you really have nothing to lose. But if you think an attorney is the best option, get up out of your Barca lounger, pause Matlock on your VCR, get that sweet flip phone out of your fanny pack, and give them a call. I suggest you check your bank balance first, though, because it's going to cost you. Either way, I hope you're enjoying the show. Welcome back. Before the break, Kendra shared their family recipe for a sexless, boring, and doomed marriage. Very little sex, and bad sex when it did happen, zero passion for anything in or out of the bedroom, and zero communication. We all know how this ends, but for now, they're still newlyweds, so the trifecta of doom hasn't taken its toll yet. Not too long after the wedding, and don't forget, Tom's family was actively excluded from the entire event, Tom's mom reached out with a sort of peace offering.
In May of 93, Tom's birthday is in May, she sent him a birthday card. I mean, we haven't heard from her, nothing. You know, we'd been married over a year or just almost a year. Again, they weren't invited. She puts $500 in a birthday card and mails it to Tom. Right before I'm written, I just was like, this is super weird. You know, again, you in that family, everything was bought. You know, we buy your love, we buy your everything. So he didn't want it. He's like, I don't know what to do with this money. Well, it ended up, it was great because one of my cousins got thrown in jail and we bailed her out with it. So we used that for bail money.
I'm sure bail money is not what mom had in mind. But even so, that little exchange opened the door, just a crack, to rebuilding a relationship. Not too long after that, Tom and Kendra welcomed their first child, a son, into the family. Tom's parents showed up at the hospital, unannounced and uninvited. Fast forward a year or two, and along came child number two, a daughter.
They were really good to the two older kids. You know, now we're spending holidays with them. They come to birthday parties at our house. His mom and I would go do a shopping trip over in San Francisco. You know, I mean, we were back in with the family, with his aunts and uncles and his sisters, and things were pretty good.
Well, that's great. I'm always glad to see parents and their children reconciling. 8 years later, twin boys make the family complete and also sets the stage for the family insanity that's about to happen. Remember Kendra's blended family? Well, Kendra's half-sister, dad's daughter from his second marriage, went off the deep end. Or as Kendra would say,
the one sister is batshit crazy.
Well, that's a big accusation. Let's hear the evidence.
She told everyone that my twins were hers. She had their names tattooed on her arms.
What?
She had it done right above her forearm. Noah and Trent. This was about 10 years ago when she did this, and she'd put it, I didn't know she was putting it out on her Facebook that, you know, she had lived in San Diego, moved to Reno for a while, but was playing this with her friends or people that she knew back in San Diego. I moved to Reno. I married a cop. We had these twins. He had a better divorce lawyer than I did. He got custody of the boys. She had their picture when they were about 2 years old put on her checks. Like a little, that my boy's pictures on her checks. I mean, crazy.
Yeah, I think insane is an appropriate description. But why? The twins were 10 years old. Why all of a sudden did she decide to take ownership?
I truly think she wanted my life. I had two older kids. I had a husband, had a good job. We had a nice house, nice cars, the whole bit.
You know, sometimes the divorce isn't the craziest part of our show. So let's hear one more crazy family issue before these two split up. About the time batshit crazy sister is trying to assume motherhood of the twins, Tom and Kendra's only daughter had a problem with some of her fellow students at her middle school. The problem was serious enough that the decision was made to take her out of that school and enroll her in a new middle school. That sounds like good parenting to me.
Well, my ex-mother-in-law said the only reason you would do that is if she was pregnant. Accusing me, saying, you know, or saying that our daughter was having it, you know, pregnant. Why else would I rip her out of a middle school? And I lost my shit. I lost my shit because I thought, whether had that even been true, first of all, no, I wouldn't have stuck her in another middle school. Why wouldn't you say, what is going on? Are you guys okay? Is she okay? You know, our daughter, is she okay? What's happening over there? How can we help you? They didn't even care. They didn't even ask.
Uh-oh. Mother-in-law poked Mama Bear. Bad idea. Kendra turned to Tom for support. But don't forget, Tom has zero passion or fire. Can you guess how this goes?
You've got to tell your mom to stop it and stop it right now. And he didn't defend her. He didn't defend our daughter. And it was one thing. He never defended me to his parents for years and years and years. But when it came to our kids and he didn't defend her, I think I broke inside. That's all I wanted for him, was to just stand up for us. And he never did, never did, never did. And that broke me.
Kendra may be down, but she's not out. She pushes her disappointment down and soldiers on for 10 years. Her dad is about to retire and have her older brother take over the family business.
My stepfather, who had the construction company, he's going to retire. He's going to gift us some of the equipment. We're going to open up our own business out here in Texas. And so we jump ship. We move out here in June of 2015 and pack everything up, our life, everything, move here. And my husband tells me, I'll be back in 2 weeks. And he's still working at the family business in Reno. So he's commuting back and forth.
I just want to make sure that everyone followed that. Tom and Kendra took her dad up on the offer to gift them some construction equipment to help them start their own business in Texas. So they packed up their lives and moved. Tom still worked for her family's business back in Reno. So he has to return to Reno right after moving to Texas. Now he's expected back and forth between Reno and Dallas every couple of weeks.
2 weeks comes around, he's still not here. September comes around, he's still not here. December, 3 years goes by, and I have been in Texas by myself. And he's coming once in a while, like once every 4 months, he's flying in, seeing us.
Once every 4 months? Sounds more like abandonment to me. So Kendra's raising the twins on her own. She doesn't have friends or family in the area, and Tom being absent isn't helping them start their own company, is it? So now it's been 3 years.
My brother has taken over my dad's company. And so he's still, I mean, he'd been at that company, at my dad's company, for 29 years working. And my brother gets a hold of the company. The company goes to shit, goes bankrupt. Tom's last couple paychecks bounce. And again, I can't get him on board to get him to help me open up this company. So now I'm shitting bricks. Like, how are we going to survive? What are we going to do? So I start driving Uber, Lyft, because I'm like, we got to pay our bills. I mean, we have got to pay these bills.
Man, that's rough. Surely this had to awaken some passion in Tom to support his family, right?
Tom is a diabetic. He has type 1 diabetes. He loses his health insurance, you know, everything is gone. He sat on the couch from January of 18 till April of 2018. Won't take his meds because we don't, you know, he's like, and truly the insulin, all that is super, super expensive. But guess who was driving to Mexico from from Dallas down to Mexico, almost 10 hours one way, single. Mom here, blonde haired mom, going into Mexico by myself, crossing the border, getting him his meds. And then I drive all the way back home for him to take his medication because he would not, he was so lazy, he wouldn't even take care of himself. So for a couple of years, he just, you know, again, he just wanted a job to fall in his lap. It was like, no, you have to work for it to go get a job. No one's just going to say, oh, let's pick you. You know, you'd be great for this job. You have to work for it. You have to get your resume together. You have to get your shit together. You have to get out there.
If you want a job, you have to get a job. That's really good advice. In fact, that's advice a man in his 40s or 50s should already know. But this is Flatline Tom we're talking about. Even boring Tom can reach rock bottom.
So now the medicine is really messing with his mind. He was getting a diabetic rages. So now he's starting to get mean. I mean, a side of him we've never seen, you know, like he, one time he got so pissed, he kicked our dog and our dog like flew across the room. And when one of the boys screamed at him, what the hell are you doing, Dad? He grabbed our kid and put him up against the wall. And we're all, what, you know, I mean, just that diabetic rage is, I think, very true. He just, he'll deny it to this day. He's like, I never did that. I'm like, really? Because I have all the pictures that you have done all this.
Wow, shit's getting real. We'll never know whether the rages were induced by medication or if he was just acting out due to being depressed about his job. But either way, he's dangerous. Finally, another of Kendra's brothers takes pity and agrees to hire Tom.
He goes to work now for my other brother, who has a construction company down in the Houston area. And he worked for him for only about 8 months. And again, he's just not taking care of himself. He's not taking his medication. He's gone from us all the time. I mean, all the time. So the 6 years I've been here, probably 5.5, I've been alone with the boys. So he, my brother finally lets him go because I just don't think Tom was productive for him.
Well, Tom was rapidly running out of Kendra's family members to work for, so he falls right back into his lethargy.
And I was sticking up, I was defending him for things that he wasn't doing. And it finally got to the point in 2000 and I guess it was still in 2018. And he like I said, I don't know if he wanted me to bring him a job, you know, like here, you know, here's some applications and I went and did your interview for you. I don't know what he wanted, but I finally said to him, I want a divorce.
And there it is. Kendra's done. But instead of just leaving, she tried to work on things with Tom. It wasn't easy.
I was getting to, I just didn't even like him as a person. He'd walk in a room and I was just like, I would tense up. I would just, ugh. And I said, we need to talk about the elephant in the room. He's like, what's up? And he would make comments. I know you don't love me anymore. I can see it. You know, just being Eeyore. You don't love me. Just, and I just said, Tom, I don't know how I'm going to get this back, but I am not in love with you. I am not in love with you. And I see you're going your way. I'm going my way. I begged for you to help me get this company started. I've been a single mom for 4 years now. And he was like, whoa, I didn't see this coming.
He didn't see it coming? Yeah, right. Tom may have zero passion or drive, but he's not stupid. And he must think Kendra's stupid if he thinks she'll buy that line. But instead of looking reality in the eye and admitting it was time, Tom had a different approach.
He told me that if I divorced him, he would destroy me. Those were his words, destroy me. And I said, what do you mean destroy me? I mean, financially, physically, mentally, what do you mean?
To this day, Kendra doesn't know if he meant he'd physically, financially, or emotionally destroy her. Spoiler alert, he did none of them. Kendra knows it's a matter of time, so she reached out to a married male friend to get his help to launch the company Tom was unable, unwilling, or simply incapable of helping to launch.
I would go out on job sites with him. We traveled. I'm friends with his wife. He's got his family and his kids. And all of a sudden, now my husband's kind of putting in my kids' heads that I am probably having an affair. So he's kind of, you know, your mom never wears a ring anymore. You know, I don't know what's going on. So both of my big kids at one point kind of confronted me like, what are you doing to dad? Is there anybody else? It was kind of shitty towards me. And I was really hurt about it. I'm like, no, I'm trying to get a business going. And I've been begging him for years to help me get this business going. I don't care who it was at the time that was going to step in and help me, but I'm going to make this business successful. I'm going for it. And I don't care who it is.
Obviously, we haven't heard Tom's side of the story, and we don't really know if he's as devoid of passion as Kendra describes. But after spending a few hours with Kendra for this episode, I can say with a certainty that she has a lot of passion for whatever she does, and for life in general. I just wonder how they stayed together for so long.
December of 2019, my daughter, we fly out to Reno. It's Tom, myself, and the twins. We fly out to Reno. We're going to spend Christmas out there. And my daughter had asked me to come over a little bit early on Christmas Eve. And she's like, we know you're not happy. And I said, Taylor, I'm trying to be happy. I don't want our family to implode. I really don't. I don't know how to fall back in love with your dad. I'm going to work on it. I want to go to therapy. I've asked your dad to go to therapy, and he said, we'll go to therapy. But of course I had to be the one to set it up. And then she said something to me about, somebody else. She's like, well, that's fine. I mean, I don't care if you get a divorce as long as there's nobody else. And I said, there is nobody else.
Despite Tom filling their kids' heads with false accusations or thoughts, Kendra is still hopeful.
I thought, you know what, maybe I haven't worked at my marriage. You know, I really haven't. I just, Tom and I didn't communicate. We hadn't for 27 years at this point. We haven't. We need to communicate better. And maybe if we communicate and I jump in with both feet and we get some counseling, maybe I can get it back. Because now, you know, now we have two beautiful grandkids. And so I tried to be a more caring with him and understanding with him, and I made more excuses for him, but truly I was going backwards. It was just making me sick. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'm not going to quit this.
Amazing. There might be a lot of people out there with her willingness to keep trying, but I just don't see it. Maybe that's just because I hear so many crazy divorce stories. Nah, she's special. Well, Tom gets a new job that has him on the road again. He's all over Texas and rarely comes home. It's hard to rebuild without both parties. But Kendra's trying. The next month, one of the twins was in Reno visiting family, and he calls Kendra with very disturbing news.
He calls me about 8:30 my time that night, and he said, Mom, I can hardly breathe. My chest hurts. I said, is Uncle Mark there? I talked to him. I said, Mark, can you get him to the hospital, please? He said, absolutely. So Mark runs Noah to the emergency room. I call my parents. My dad goes down there.
Turns out he had the same virus Tom had. Serious stuff. So her 18-year-old son had a heart attack. She's losing her mind with worry.
I'm booking a flight. I'm talking to Tom. It's 2 a.m. I'm talking to all my kids, you know, all night long, trying to get out of Dallas to get to Reno.
Tom's on the road for work, but this is serious.
So, of course, I'm in communications with Tom, with Noah being in the hospital. And it just boiled down to, he said, you know, if you need me, if things get worse, let me know. I'll come out. And we never saw him. He never showed up to the hospital.
What the hell? One of my twins broke his back in a skiing accident in January of 2020, right in the height of COVID, so I wasn't able to see him in the hospital. I was a wreck. I can't imagine not even caring enough to try. Okay, Tom's a dick. So Kendra makes it to Reno and ultimately gets her son home to Dallas. Tom comes home for a few days to check in on their son, and then he leaves again. But he made a classic mistake.
He left his Facebook on my computer, and I saw he was already with somebody else. He was already having an affair with somebody that he went to high school with. I saw things I wish I never would have seen, you know, read things that hurt. You know, it cuts to your core.
So Tom wouldn't touch his wife, has no passion for anything, but somehow manages to find that sexual desire and passion for someone else. I know from experience just how bad that hurts.
Absolutely more passionate and the sex talk and, you know, things I had asked for 27 years. You know, like I begged him for things and, you know, just to see how he was, how they were communicating about, you know, sex and this, and it was a gut punch. I guess this lady he is with is super sexual. I don't know. I was too, but I didn't get to express myself with it. And just to think that she got what I had been wanting, that hurts.
Of course, Kendra calls Tom to confront him.
So I find out about the affair. He continues to rendezvous for 3 days when I called him out and I said, I know where you're at. I know what you're doing. Who is she? He tells me who she is instead of dropping everything and running back home. When I say running back home, it's not like I wanted him to run back in my arms and, you know, let's work on this. It was, you owed something to me, I think. You know, you need to be a man and face me and, you know, look at me in the face.
Wow. Either he was having such a great time he didn't want to break away, or he just knew he was caught and that the marriage was dead. Or maybe it was both. It turns out this isn't the first time he's been caught.
I think Tom had an affair a year prior also, because I found some text messages and stuff from a coworker on his phone about sharing a room when they were up in Wyoming. And there was very inappropriate text messages.
I think some people just can't help themselves.
I said, you can pick up all of your stuff. And all his stuff was out on the lawn. And it had been out there for a couple of days. And sprinklers had hit it. And, you know, hopefully dogs walked by and did whatever. and it just... we went almost a full year before we ever saw each other face to face. After I found out about the affair, he avoided me like the plague.
Good for her. She's had a rough month or two. I'm glad she's taking control.
By the time October rolled around, I was in the tank. Like I said, I had my boys came out, COVID hit, Noah has a heart attack. I find out about the affair. 2 weeks after I find out about the affair, baby number two, he has mono. I got diagnosed with Epstein-Barr in September, and I was just, I mentally was cooked. I just can't even explain. So I thought, well, I'm going to go out to Reno, my daughter and my grandbabies and my parents, my sister, you know, I have best of friends still out there. And I was like, I'm going to go to Reno. I need some downtime. And you know what? He can step up and stay with the boys. You know, after 5 years, he can handle being with them. And they're not bad kids when I say handle them, but you know, someone needs to be in town. We can't just abandon them. So I end up going out to Reno and I get out to Reno and my son, one of the twins' cars was out there. He thought he was going to spend the summer, but obviously he had his heart attack. And I thought, oh, I'm going to register the car out here. I'm going to switch my driver's license. We're in Nevada. You only need 2 weeks to, you know, file for divorce, be a resident. And so I started going through those channels of, I was like, I'm going to get him. I'm going to file out here. I'll get more alimony for a longer amount of time.
Normally, I'm not a huge fan of the word more in front of alimony. But let's face the facts here. Tom's unwillingness to work on their own business meant that he left her alone in a strange city for years at a time with small children. Her resume isn't really that impressive at this point, and she's going to need some time to get some education or training to get on her feet. And that's what alimony is meant to do. So I applaud Kendra's drive.
And on Saturday morning, he said, oh, by the way, he sent me a text. Oh, by the way, I filed for a divorce for us. For us. If you want to talk about it, give me a call.
What? Isn't it sad that the first time in 27 years that Tom took initiative to do anything in their marriage was to file for divorce? But the timing is kind of crazy, right? I mean, what are the odds that Tom suddenly decides to take action just as Kendra's planning to do the same?
My mom had tipped him off and said, Kendra's going to file for divorce out here. And when she told him that, he cut all the, he changed all the banking, all the money. I couldn't access anything. I couldn't even look at bank statements anymore. My mom gives him her credit card, or I don't know how she paid him to get his attorney on retainer. He files like on a Monday or a Tuesday, and my parents talk to me. We have dinner together every night. We're laughing. We're having drinks. And not one person, they both knew that he had filed against me, and nobody said a word to me about it.
At this point, Kendra knows her plan has been foiled, but she decides to play along.
I let him sit on it and like rack up some attorney fees, you know, and just his attorney would say, hey, you know, can you get your list together for me? You know, like, what are you looking for in the divorce? Because I thought I was going to be able to represent myself. I'm not a lawyer. Never dabbled in the law. You know, I don't even have a speeding ticket. But I thought, oh, I'm just, you know, I'll let him rack up all the bills.
I think that's a great plan. If Tom's finally decided to get the divorce, then let him pay for it. Why not?
And then when they started getting aggressive with me, you know, in some of the terms and what they wanted, I knew I was going to be in trouble. I wouldn't be able to represent myself. So I had to hire an attorney myself and let them do all the legwork. And that was a nice $11,000, a little over $11,000 just for me to walk away with basically nothing.
Well, that sucks. Unfortunately, $11,000 is exactly average. And walking away with nothing to show for the $11,000 is just all too common. What a waste. I asked Kendra why her parents would have taken Tom's side and helped him instead of her. You know what they told her? Because they'd made their marriage work, and so could she.
They've been married 40, I'm 51, so they've been married like 47 years. And they have had a horrible marriage. I mean, my mom has moved out a couple of times, bought new houses. They've been, I don't know how many times they have split up, and my mom's moved out for like a year or 2 years or whatever.
What a shitty way to live. Turns out Kendra agrees.
Like, I just walked away and threw my hands up. I'm like, yeah, I did. And because it's you and mom, you should have been divorced 47 years ago. I refuse to live like you guys. I'm not going to live toxic, and I'm not going to live jealous.
Boom. Sounds to me like Kendra's finally done taking shit from anyone and everyone. I love it. I couldn't help but wonder if Kendra ever forgave her parents for taking Tom's side and how their relationship is now.
That hurt. It is. And that hurt is deep, if not deeper, than his affair. Your own mother. Your own mom. Very strained. I stay away. I just stay away. I don't let anyone know what's going on in my life.
Divorce hurts everyone involved, no matter what. So fight for your family, people. Don't let outside influences ruin what you've built. I really want to thank Kendra for visiting mycrazydivorce.com just a few weeks ago and applying to be a guest. There are just two things we need to keep these stories coming: new guests and new reviews. So if you have a crazy divorce story like Kendra, please go to mycrazydivorce.com and click on the Apply to be a Guest button at the bottom of the page. And if you haven't already done it, please take 2 seconds right now to give us 5 stars on whatever platform or app you're using right now to listen to this show. Every single review moves us up the charts and helps more people find us. I also want to thank ourdivorce.com for their sponsorship of My Crazy Divorce. If you or someone you know is thinking of divorce and don't want it to become a future episode of our show, go to ourdivorce.com to learn more or to get started for free. That's our show for today, everybody. See you next week.
Imagination brings a smile up to my